recording, and that one.
Click that MF and record button.
You know, I keep that MF thang on me.
MF thang.
That MF blue Yeti on me all times. Yep. Girls ask me about it.
Girls ask me about my snowball. Got a very impressive snowball.
That's a great way to start the show. Ladies and gentlemen, feel free to Urban Dictionary snowball. It is.
Oh, wow. You're thinking blue, Dylan. You're thinking way too blue.
Oh, God. This show.
The jokes are coming.
Brought to you by Yeti. The Yeti blue ball.
How is your Christmas, Dylan? It is the year of our Lord, 2019. Yes, the Christian Lord.
The one where when you die you go to the Christian heaven.
Yes, and all the Jews go to hell. What?
It's true. People
out there that don't know me, I need to step away from that comment. People out there that don't know me, that was very satirical. I don't believe in God, so.
The people who know me know A, I don't believe in God, and also, hey, I'm a Jew, so we're good.
Yep. Do you have any Christmas or New Year's stories that you'd like to reveal?
Let's see.
Are all of them too private?
No, it was pretty good. Christmas was, yeah. It was simple. It was fun. So my dad and I, we went up to Springfield, spent time with the Bickers family.
Nice.
Had a thoroughly English Christmas. It was a good time.
Your family lives in Springfield, Ohio?
Yeah.
Oh, weird. My mom's from Springfield, Ohio.
Oh, hell yeah.
Weird. We've known each other for how long, and that's never come up.
That is weird. Yeah.
That is weird. Okay.
But yeah, Springfield, had a good time, had, I think we had lamb, just roasties and some other good stuff, and Nana made sausage rolls, which were really good. They're always
hell
so
yeah.
good. Oh my God, I fucking love them so much. It seems simple as hell. It's like sausage just wrapped in puff pastry, but there's something
right.
about it. Like, oh my God. And they say the British can't cook.
That just reminds me of, there's a game, that came out, I think 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. Now it's 2019, the year of our Lord. I'm going to keep on saying that. And it's never going to stop being funny. This puzzle game is called Steven's Sausage Roll. Have you heard about it?
I have not.
From 2016. So 3 years ago now.
3 years ago. Good Lord.
Damn, I'm old.
The year of our good Lord. We're old as fuck.
So it was created by Stephen Lavelle, and basically you roll around a giant sausage and you try to get it to your goal. But it's a puzzle game, and it's very, very... Apparently it's very, very hard, but... it was rated really, really highly. And they said the Guardian said that this game was more difficult than The Witness.
Oh, damn.
You know what The Witness was?
No.
The Witness, which was created by Jonathan Blow of Braid fame. I think you'd actually like it. It seems like a very, very aesthetic choice for you.
The Witness. It was like there's someone who's like spying on people.
No, I don't think so. I'll send you the image. Okay. But the whole game is centered around you doing line puzzles. And the line puzzles are like you wake up on this like really beautiful island.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know why you're there. But all these like there are a bunch of grids that are just in panels, and then you complete line puzzles on them, and they open up new doors.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go through and you kind of unlock the secrets of the island.
Hmm.
And yeah, so the year it came out, it was like rated one of the best games of the year. But like there's spoilers for The Witness, which also came out in 2016. The line puzzles become part of the environment.
Ah.
And so you start making lines from the environment. And like there's over 100 of those puzzles. And like the end puzzle is you do all of the types of the puzzles because they all have their own like structure.
Mm-hmm.
And you do all of the types of those puzzles on like a timer while Flight of the Valkyrie plays.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then it, I think it like opens up like the good ending or whatever. But yeah, so that was my tangent about Steven Sausage Roll and then puzzle games.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. My Christmas was two Christmases.
Mm-hmm.
Because my older sister is a nurse in Cleveland. And mm-hmm. so she did not get Christmas Eve night off. So the next week she came over. So the first week it was just me and my younger, not younger sister, but sister that is younger than my older sister, middle sister.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny too because they're not really, they're twins. They're, but one is 2 minutes older than the other.
Yeah.
But anyway, so her and her boyfriend came over and we basically opened up all the presents that didn't have to do with my older sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week we opened up all of the presents that did have to do with my older sister. So we had two Christmases and we had two hams. And then like before nice. That, before that Christmas Eve night, we had a Christmas party with my, extended family, which was pretty cool too.
Hell yeah.
My sister, gave me a present in the middle of the party and she told me to open it up. I opened it up and it was a box that said music quiz on it.
Mm-hmm.
I open it up, I'm like, oh yeah, let's play. And then like everybody looked at me and I was like, okay, I'll just read them, I guess, because not to toot my own horn, but I would be pretty good at that game if I played it, so yeah. But she gave that one to me, and then she gave a movie quiz to my brother-in-law.
Nice.
So
very yeah. nice. Yeah, I'm thinking about, so what did gift wise I got, let's ooh, see yeah. here,
let's talk about the gifties, reason for the season.
Oh hell yeah. The sad state of capitalism. But I got
good capitalism.
Well,
what was your favorite gift, Dylan?
Favorite gift? Well, the gift,
or at
that
least
went...
one that made an impact on you.
Well, so it was a bottle of whiskey and a cigar from my uncle Mike. So nice. When I was little, we always used to go up to Nana and Grandpa's for Christmas. Uncle Mike used to smoke cigars, and obviously he would drink beer. And I always talked about like how when I was old enough, I wanted to drink beer and smoke cigars with him. And like every year for Christmas after that, he would get me a bottle of like IBC root beer and a right. bubblegum cigar.
That's awesome.
And this was the first year I got a proper bottle of alcohol and a proper cigar. And I was like, ah,
that's good.
It's big moods.
It's big moods. Do the kids still say feels?
I don't know
if that's
the kids are doing the Bird Box challenge where they're like crashing into cars crashing blindfolded. Cars. So I don't give a shit what the kids do these days.
The kids are doing these Fortnite dances.
Yeah, flossing on them.
Have you seen that? Have you seen that footage of Ninja on New Year's night?
No.
He's trying to get a crowd to floss.
Oh god, did it go badly?
It went poorly. He got 1.5 people to floss.
How does half a person floss?
Well, you can like fail it at the actual dance move, but like I don't know how to floss. But like he tried to get like 100 people to floss at midnight.
So there was a Christmas time ish. It was a little bit before Christmas, but Peter Velarde had a little MC Freeman of recording fame and
Alu Gobi rhyme fame.
Those Alu Gobi rhymes that no one else can compete with. But
people think it's Paul McCartney.
He had a little shindig at his house. It was his family. Research Anderson came by.
Yeah.
So I went over for a little bit, and I met his sister, Luca.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And I think his brother. I cannot remember his name for the life of me, and I feel bad. I feel like
I also can't remember his name.
He introduced himself super quickly, and then literally like went off and started flossing. And I was like, what the fuck? And then Luca started flossing too, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then they started doing like the one where
and then you were like, burn it down.
They started pumping their arm and doing the kick, and I was like, what is... Why am I in Fortnite right now? And then Peter's mom started doing it.
Oh, no. What is this hell dimension that you went into?
Oh, it was amazing, though. Oh, God.
I want them to be the backup dancers in the new MC Freeman music video.
Yes!
That'd be amazing.
Oh, my God. I would lose my mind.
That would be so cool. Yeah, we never talked about the Fortnite dances and how people are trying to sue over the dances.
Are they?
Yeah. So the guy who played Carlton is trying to sue over the Carlton. Backpack Kid is trying to sue over his dance. And what's that guy's name? The guy who made the shoot is trying to sue over his dance.
Oh, my God.
And so I did watch Illegal Eagle on it, and I don't know. I probably had it up on the show notes last week, mm-hmm. last month, last year, and I took it down because I thought it might be boring, but it ties in pretty nicely here. And so basically the summary of his thing is that these lawsuits will probably be dismissed on the case that you can only copyright a sequence of dance moves. You cannot copyright a dance move itself.
Huh.
And yeah, there's a whole case about like a ballet studio who thought that their dances were being lifted.
Mm-hmm.
And a lawsuit. There was a lawsuit there that's a precedent for dance law, basically.
Damn.
Which is crazy. It's a crazy time.
Footloose. Everybody's got loose feet.
And getting sued. That's why everybody didn't dance at Footloose. They didn't want to get sued.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Did you do anything cool for New Year's Eve?
I sat in my living room and drank.
Nice.
My dad and I watched this Ant-Man and the Wasp. Some files fell off the back of the truck.
Yep.
And that's then we watched Logan. And
that's a good movie.
Oh, so good. He hadn't seen it yet, and I was like, I saw it in like the queue, and I said, we have to watch this because it's amazing.
You watch Ant-Man and the Wasp, and you're like, Dad, do you actually want to watch a good superhero movie? Or
that was kind of my thought process.
Because I like both of those actors. And I have never seen Ant-Man or that movie, so...
It was...
But I hear things.
I didn't... It was fun. I will give it that. It was fun, but I didn't get a whole lot out of it.
Right. I like Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd is cool.
Rudd is cool, and he's pretty old now, and he still looks the same.
Yeah, he's
looked the same forever.
He's got that Will Smith energy.
Yes, he does. Big Will Smith energy.
It's not big dick energy. It's also not small dick energy. It's medium dick energy. It talks to dead people.
Have you seen the trailer for Endgame? Avengers Endgame? Teaser.
Yeah, with
Tony Stark being all sad.
Yeah, RDJ gasping on a spaceship.
And then Ant-Man being like, I'm here too.
Yeah. The popular Twitter theory is that Ant-Man gonna go real small, crawl up Thanos' butt, and make it real big.
Right. Well, okay. That was not where I thought it was going. I was actually going to bring up the theory that Doctor Strange, opened a rift in time or something, mm-hmm. and that's how they're going to get back the Infinity Stones, or they're going to get their own Infinity Stones from a different mm-hmm. parallel dimension, mm-hmm. something like that. That's the only way to beat Infinity Stones, man.
Parallel Infinity Stones.
With parallel dimension Infinity Stones. Exactly.
Just bust into the soul stone, get all the souls out. Mm. Watch that be the actual plot point.
What? Bust into the soul zone?
The soul stone.
Oh. Take all the souls out.
Take all the souls out. You got the Capra demon in there.
summon a good spirit bomb.
You're gonna get
the population.
Solaire is gonna be in there. Solaire of Astora is gonna be in there. He's gonna be like, time is convoluted. Thanos. Jolly cooperation.
He just
smacks him.
I want to shout out Oldfields, North Forth Tavern, because they've hosted me and my friends for over 5 years now at their New Year's Eve event.
Oh, damn.
And it's fucking awesome every time. The owner of Oldfields, Dan, has a private party.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's like 30 or 40 invitations or something like that. It's like crazy small. I'm probably screwing that up. It's probably like 60. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
It's super small. And for $60, you get an open bar from, I want to say it was from 8 till 1,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy.
That is crazy.
And then there's also food, pizza, and all that stuff just like there that you can eat. So $60 and it gets you all that. My New Year's Eve was pretty good because I went and I was like, I'm not going to drink that much. everybody there was drinking cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a cocktail person. I found out very quickly, though, that I like gin and tonic.
Hell yeah.
A lot. And so I had two doubles of those within like 2 hours.
Oh, that's the way to do it.
Right. And then we're getting in trouble because one of my friends brought. Okay, so there's a story. I'm going to not leak anybody's names or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's. But one of my friends shared a story how he had gone to a bar recently and there were people playing dice in a back room and there was cocaine and weed being served on trays.
Hell yeah.
And so after that story, my other friend brought dice to the New Year's Eve event as a goof. It started off as a goof and then it quickly turned into bet on this hand. And if it, if you lose, you have to take a shot.
Oof. Oh, that sounds way too close to home to a game that we used to play.
So pretty bad. Pretty, pretty bad.
Yikes.
But so long story short, I ended up giving $60 to the bar staff because I guess I was feeling really generous.
Hell yeah. I mean, for open bar between 8 and 1.
So they got 120 from me.
Oh, hell yeah. Holy shit, dog. Yeah, that is it. That's the big boy tip. Wow.
Right. I mean, I probably gave 30 of that out of my own volition and then like drunkenly went, oh yeah, I'll give them more money. I'm sure Dan appreciated
it. Hell yeah. Nah,
I tried to fight the jukebox at one point.
Oh, so. No, dude. There was, shit dog. So that actually reminds me. It was, so G&T used to be my go-to.
Right.
It was my go-to at like every Air Force ball, at the Med Group holiday party. And I remember specifically involving fighting an inanimate object. It was, I think, my second Med Group holiday party. It was like 2016, I want to say. Right. And I was freshly 21. And I was 20.
Yes.
Yes.
That, I don't know.
Maybe.
I have no idea. Okay.
But I remember it was like right at the height of when I had this like huge crush on this person who I should not have had a crush on. And I see this like, it's early on in the party. I see this like senior master sergeant come over and like just put his hand on her leg. And I was like, oh man, for some reason, I just feel incredible rage. And so I stopped talking and dropped the G&T and started going with Jack and Coke. And I remember my friend, let's see here.
Jack is an angry drink.
Oh, it's a very angry drink. I will call my friend Tiffany. She came with me to the bar because she needed like a glass of water or something like that. And she told me this because I do not remember it happening. But apparently, when the guy was pouring the whiskey, he went to tilt the bottle up because he poured the normal amount. Uh-huh. And I said, I asked for a double. And so he kept pouring. And they tipped the bottle up again. And I said, why did you stop? Stop.
Are you trying to cheat me?
And then we get to the inanimate objects portion of the show. And I went out and like was like dead set to fight a tree.
Amazing.
And so I went to fight this tree. And it looked like level ground. But between where the parking lot ended and where the tree was, there was a not insignificant ditch, which I like just belly flopped right into. Oof. Proceeded to stand up and go fight the fuck out of that tree. That tree crossed me that day, making me fall down ditches and stuff. But anyway, kids, that's why you drink in moderation.
I finally played the Lenny mission last night in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Lenny mission.
Have you haven't heard? There's this mission in Red Dead where somebody does something and then he like feels bad about it, and so your guy Dutch goes, oh, go cheer the kid up, go get him a drink, and so your mission is to get this kid drunk.
Hell yeah.
And so you take him into town. And then you're like, yeah, we're just going to have a friendly drink. And then, like, it just montages into you just drinking so much. it's, like, the easiest mission ever. It's not even a mission, but it's really funny where, like, you get back to where you can play and you're like, above the bar or something. Like, you're on the second floor or something and you're, like, looking for Lenny. And you're like shouting Lenny into a crowd.
Jason.
Yeah. Right. And it's pretty fun. So the that turns into you finding him, turns into you guys drinking more, turns into you going back into consciousness and going into first person view where you're just peeing. I'd never thought I'd see that in the Red Dead game. It was a very Duke Nukem moment.
Yikes.
So yeah, I don't know if I like that part. But and then you go around and you look for him again. But this time people's faces are turning into his face. And your contact sensitive, like your discussion wheel, it says shout for it at the top, and then it says Lenny, and then you pull the trigger, but then it starts like mangling the words, and so it's like shout for Lemny, shout for Loonly, shit, and Arthur keeps on just going Lenny, and then you guys end up getting into a pretty bad bar fight, and then you end up in jail.
Hell yeah!
Then you pay $10 to get out.
Oh man, those were the days.
Those were the days. But like the sheriff is like, you guys had a good night last night, didn't you?
Not a phone in sight, just people living in the moment.
Just people living in the moment, exactly. And I was going to bridge that into Giant Bomb Game of the Year, and I will keep this short, but I've been listening to those podcasts forever. Ever since I've been listening to Giant, so 5 years, 4 or 5 years, and they're always really good and they're always really long, so it's good stuff to listen to while you're doing work or studying or whatever, or traveling or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I work nights and often by myself, so I just put on the Game of the Year podcast, and I think I went through 6 hours of podcasts one night.
Damn.
It's crazy. And I was exhausted by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's their Game of the Year discussions. They get into passionate arguments about why things deserve to be on these lists. Mm-hmm. But the most disappointing list was one of... My dog's barking. But the most disappointing list was one of contention, because Dan Reichert said that Red Dead Redemption 2 should be on the most disappointing list.
Mm-hmm.
And his reason for it was that there are people on staff that did not get as much enjoyment out of the game as, like, there's like a 60-40 split of people mm-hmm. that actually liked the pacing of the game, mm-hmm. How it felt, and the story.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody agreed that the story was its best, like, the best part of the game. And so they were, like, people were saying, like, so why are we awarding a game that you try to skip through the gameplay to get to the story?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you haven't played Red Dead yet, have you?
No.
Because you sold your PS4, right?
Very true.
So you do not have one.
No.
It's a very weird game.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different systems. I already talked about the contact-sensitive menu. You go up to somebody and you hold in the left trigger, and it will bring up an option menu for you can talk to them, rob them, antagonize them, or just greet them,
mm-hmm.
which is a weird, but I mean, it's kind of cool, but mm-hmm. it kind of has its gimmick. But anyway, to the point, so the gameplay is really weird. Your horse can die really fast. Shooting's not great, but it's, you know, it's Rockstar shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's just some kind of tonal dissonant things. But what I'm saying is that's why he put it forward to most disappointing. And so for an hour, almost 2 hours, they talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
And he successfully changed the opinions of the other members of the staff.
And then all watched 12 Angry Men.
Right. So that Red Dead Redemption 2 would get onto the list but would not win the category, because okay. the way they do it is they have one winner and then two runner-ups. So they put Red Dead Redemption 2 on that list, but they also put it on the top 10 list as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened in recent memory with Destiny as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was very disappointed at Destiny, so
mm-hmm.
I can see why that happened. But I mean, I played a lot of it too. So
yeah,
I mean, it kind of Red Dead Redemption 2 kind of reminds me of The Witcher,
mm-hmm.
In that there, if wow, my dog is loud. I'm sorry about that.
It's fine.
It kind of reminds me of The Witcher in that it's very cyclical. Like, you can mm-hmm. you can kind of see how this video game is being a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go through the cycle enough times, you're kind of, you know, get worn down
yeah.
by the interactions and stuff. The Witcher, it's a lot easier to see that because there's only like 3 or 4 encounters that can happen while you're walking around.
Mm-hmm.
In Red Dead, I think there's like 15
mm-hmm.
or something like that. But, you know, how many times does some hunter get caught in his own bear trap? Or
right.
How many times do you save somebody from like a unearned arrest or something?
Okay. So, makes sense.
Yeah. But I wanted to, it was one of the bigger moments of podcasting last year that I never got to talk about, but yeah, go check that out if you want to hear one of the more tiring and amazing arguments.
Is it one of their paid episodes?
So there are two streams of that podcast. Mm-hmm. There's a premium stream and there's a non-premium stream.
Okay.
So if you wanted to, you could just open up the podcast and it'll be the one with the commercial.
Oh yeah. But,
yeah. So that full list was Sea of Thieves was the most disappointing, and then followed by Fallout 76 and Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oof. How did Sea of Thieves beat Fallout 76?
Because they kept on going back to what they were expecting from the game, mm-hmm. and to what they got.
Gotcha.
Sea of Thieves had seemed to have more promise among the staff than Fallout 76.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, and it looked like a good game when they announced it. Like Sea of Thieves seemed like it was a good idea.
Yeah.
And it is a good idea. Like having a multiplayer pirate game is not a bad idea, but the implementation was not great.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout 76 won the category Hottest Mess.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
So, followed by the Philip Mnuchin plagiarism scandal, and then the questionable workplace practices of the entire industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Celeste got on here for best music.
Hell yeah. I loved that game.
So they're in the mention for best music, Red Dead Redemption 2 won, but best style, Tetris Effect. Their game of the year is Tetris Effect, by the way.
Huh.
Which is weird.
It's
a weird giant bomb thing. It's like the most giant bomb thing that could happen is that Tetris Effect would be their game of the year because they're very like minutia, like technically this is good gameplay. This is like really good gameplay and good music and good visuals, and we want to award that.
Okay. That makes sense.
Red Dead was 4. God of War was 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I should stop talking about Giant Bomb. what else do you want to talk about?
Let's see here. So something I've been thinking about coming into the year of our Lord 2019.
The glorious year of our Lord.
Blessed be his name. So
first be the zealots.
That's the ways of tyrants. I don't know.
it's the prayer that I say before all of my podcasting duties. Blessed be the Lord, cursed be the zealots.
I like that. I like that a lot. It's a lot better than my lame joke about Abe Lincoln going to see the 2012 premiere of Dark Knight Rises. Yikes. Oh, God, you have to know a lot about tragedy to get that joke.
okay.
But, so, anyway.
Anyway.
Resolutions are dumb.
Tell me about that.
The reason why is, so this is something that I first heard about on Cortex, because they do, instead of a resolution, they do a yearly theme. And the reason I'm kind of drawn to that idea is that a resolution is a single point of failure. Like, this year I am going to get fit. This year I am going to quit smoking. This year I am going to fix my marriage, et cetera, et cetera. And if you don't do that in the entirety of the year, then you feel kind of like this failure. Because you've essentially set yourself up for that level of failure. You said, because the calendar turned over to a new 4 digits at the end of the date, or the start of the date if you're in the military. Fucking weird way to write the date. But anyway, also, sorry people abroad in the UK. The year turned over, I'm going to do this one thing to fix myself because I'm not happy with who I am, and by fixing this one thing, I fix everything. Where a yearly theme comes in is working towards a set of goals that kind of coincide with that theme. So this past year, for Gray, CGP Gray, his yearly theme was the Year of Order.
Year of Order.
The Year of Order. Need like thunder sounds in the background for that.
Yep. Put it in a post.
So he basically was trying to a lot of things in his sort of like creative capacity, his production workflow had kind of become chaotic, and he wanted to rein it all in. So his yearly theme was implementing things to bring more order into his life. It wasn't as much of a success as he had planned at the start of the year, but he did make progress towards it, and so in that way he was successful. Mike's theme, I think, for 2018 was the Year of Adulting, which I think he did a pretty good job of. He bought a house, he got married, he expanded Relay FM as the podcast network with like three additional shows. So very I think he kept to his yearly theme pretty well, but that's kind of what it appeals to me about this idea is instead of a single point of failure where like I'm gonna quit smoking this year, it's because I know that's not gonna happen. It's trying to come up with a theme to work towards and set goals, kind of thinking like, what is this in service of? And
but do you think that will be a problem that you don't have a solid basis for success?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Because the goal isn't ultimately a definitive point of success, something that you can point to on a Excel spreadsheet and said, hey, check mark, did this thing, I'm good. It's like trying to follow a sort of a what's the word for it? I'm thinking about the name of the wind or
the word for it is the word for it,
the wise man's fear right now with the Lathani. It's not a path, but it is a path. It's knowing the right way to do things and knowing the wrong way to do things and always choosing and blah blah blah. Anyway,
yes,
so it's my Lathani for the year, the year of the Lathani. That's right. My yearly theme.
That's a vocab word.
We've done
it. I do not know it.
It's a made-up word, I'm fairly certain.
Nice.
From the mind of Pat Rothfuss.
Well, you know, it's really just 20 equantine, so we have to buy a horse.
It's no, we're not doing that. Horses are done.
Horses are never done.
The good McElboys are so tired of the horses.
Well, okay, so I have, not to cut your topic short, because I'd be a bad co-host. I have the Brothers Yearly Themes page up right now, and apparently 20 Equantine won. I thought that Frankenstein-teen Befriend a Monster won.
Yeah, it wasn't even Befriend a Monster. It was Embrace the Monster, Become the Monster.
Become the Monster.
You are now the monster.
Well, this is a fandom site, so.
You are Face Dog.
You are the monster.
No, it's Hand Dog. Hand Dog, Face Cat. Why can't I get this straight? Man, I should have gotten those t-shirts when I had the chance. No.
I guess it was that was the first runner-up on the list. Yeah, Frankenstein Teen, Become the Monster.
Very nice.
Yeah. Which is... I don't really know, because you can take that in like a couple ways.
Mm-hmm.
The very bad ways and the very like become like really good, like you're a monster, you're awesome, you're or become like a literal monster, become a garbage person.
I feel like you can be a good monster.
Oh yeah, Frankenstein had a Frankenstein's monster
there we
had
go.
A heart of cold. Oh god,
it's all they could find lying around. Frankenstein team. Put yourself together from the pieces of your enemies.
That would have been way too on the nose if Mary Shelley wrote, and then he picked up the heart, and it was made from gold, and he put it in the chest cavity of his monster. That would have been way too on the nose.
Too on the nose.
What are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about themes.
Yearly themes.
So do you have a theme picked out?
The year of the Lathani.
The year of the Lathani, which is the year of making a theme.
So essentially, hang on, let me pull up the wiki.
Do it.
All right. So the Lathani is a philosophy practiced by the people of Edemre. All of Edem seek to live by the Lathani, an understanding of what is right and wrong. Legend credits the origin of the Lathani to 99 instructive tales, which Wraith gave to Rethi gave to Eth. The books are so good. It's from the second book in the Kingkiller Chronicle by Pat Rothfuss, and it's super good. It's I've read both books this since the start of this year, which I'm really surprised at, because that's like over 1400 pages of really dense words less than half a month. Holy shit. How do I put this? If you've read it, you'll get it. I can't explain it without spoiling it, but basically trying to figure out how to do the next right thing.
Okay. All right.
That sounds a lot better than the year of the next right thing.
The
year of the Lathani.
You're being artistic with it.
You're
finessing it.
You gotta finesse it. Finesse on me.
I got a new hat. Now I'm a hat guy. I just collect hats. I got a new hat that is finesse, but it's in the Friends logo font. It's great. It's great.
I can't figure out if I like that or I hate that, but...
You like hate it.
I'm going to love your hat.
We're going to talk about presidential candidates, but now I looked at what I want our challenge to be, because we talked about it like two episodes ago, the anime speed read challenge.
Yes.
Where we watch a show at like, I don't know, we never decided a speed, but... and so I'm on a site right now called animegage.com. And I am on a page called Worst Anime Ever.
Oh. You're about make me watch some goddamn hentai shit, aren't you?
Probably. ratings wise, with a 2.1, is a anime called Mars of Destruction. Hemitsu no Mars. And I haven't read this before, so I'm gonna read it now. Several months after a probe returning from Mars burns up during reentry, strange creatures dubbed as the Ancients began to appear throughout Tokyo. Aggressive and dangerous, they cannot be killed with ordinary weapons. Scientists struggle to find the cause of their sudden appearance, and the monsters wreak havoc across the world. Humanity finds hope in the forms of the Mars suit, a new weapon developed to take down these enemies. The suit, however, can only be worn by those with specific DNA.
Takiro Hinata,
an ordinary teen with a troubled past.
Of course.
And one of the few capable of piloting the only weapon against the Ancients. With the help of the AAST, a special police force established to defeat the dangerous creatures, the young man battles against demons both personal and global whilst trying to discover the true nature of Earth's new aggressors.
What the fuck is this bootleg Evangelion bullshit?
Evangelion?
Yeah.
Is that what you put spread on your toast? Evangelion? isn't the anime called Evangelion?
Yeah.
Evangelion. That's my morning routine. Evangelion. There's just three like waifus on this poster.
Okay,
I
so
don't know if...
I just looked up the summary for Evangelion, and it's I can't say it. It's an image.
It's the waifu poster.
Oy
vey. I dropped that in the show in the notes.
All right, so dear listeners, remember Devin's description. Now, this is for EVG. When violent monsters descend upon Earth to destroy humanity, a reluctant young man joins a small squad of pilots under the command of his cold and dictatorial father to drive back the menace using giant machines that seem to have minds of their own. Come on, tell me that's not... It's.
It sounds like a lot of anime, though.
It sounds like a whole mess of anime.
What's that other one with the naked guys?
Naked guys.
Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan, yeah.
Attack on Titan is also one of those.
Mm-hmm. Except instead, it's a flesh mech. TM.
The flesh mech. Oh, no. Is that... Do we stumble on a bad episode title?
Yes.
I don't want to name an episode flesh mech. I don't want to put anything in the world called flesh mech.
It's decided title. If I had my Merlin Man bell, I'd ring the shit
title,
out.
Title. So Mars of Destruction, Rachna Strike Angels, Natsu Tokani, Sushi Police.
Sushi Police.
Hopefully we can. Wow. Okay. That's a thing that I wanna watch. I wanna be part of the Sushi Police. The elite 9th unit of the Sushi Police. A task force with the sole objective of sniffing out restaurants serving illicit or non-traditional sushis and eradicating them.
I already love
Holy
this.
Shit, I love it. As a 4.69 on myanimelist.com.
I'm looking at this animation. This does not look like typical anime.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man. This looks like if...
Suzuki.
Oof.
Carlos, Sarah, Kawasaki. Oh, man. I actually don't know if any of this is on streaming services that we both have access to, but it's fun to look at the worst anime ever. Because I've never heard of any of this.
Oh, there's got to be a Yahoo answer for this one.
Time Bokan 24, Hybrid X Heart, Magius Academia Ataraxia. I want you to look at this. We need to put this image or link this image in the podcast, because it's real good. This woman has impossibly large breasts.
I'm looking at her in the blue.
Top right, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
And, yeah. Yep.
This makes me uncomfortable.
Haida Kazuna possesses the heart hybrid gear ability, but is not strong enough to make him particularly important. What does that mean?
He's not important.
Anime is weird.
Oh, man.
That is what we learned from this lesson. Anime is weird.
Do you want to do Yahoo?
Sure.
What is the worst anime ever made?
Okay.
The most atrocious, cliched, god-awful garbage ever produced by man. So bad it makes puppies die. So soul-wrenchingly awful in terms of writing, story structure, plot, characterization, etc. That just makes no sense ever. Uh-huh. By bad, I'm not talking about crap dubs, since plenty of bad dubs happen to otherwise good series. Right. Almost anything done by Fox for kids...
Okay. All right.
Oh, the best answer is Naruto.
Naruto, yeah. That's I mean, aren't all anime but just bad? Anime was a mistake.
No. Cuz Akira.
I'm sad cuz I've never seen Akira.
Oh. And then everything by Miyazaki.
Yeah, that's true. I also mentioned during that episode where we mentioned that we might do an anime speed read challenge, Cells at Work, which I think is currently on Hulu.
Ooh, I do have the Hulu.
But the story takes place inside the human body where trillions of anthropomorphic cells each do their job to keep the body healthy. the series largely focuses on. So it's basically Osmosis Jones on two such cells, a rookie red blood cell, AE-3803, who often gets lost during deliveries, and a relentless white blood cell, U-1146, who fights against any germs that invade the body.
It's fucking Osmosis Jones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looks like the manga cover looks pretty sick.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to double check if that's on Hulu, because that could work. Because it's also in genre comedy. So, yeah.
I dig it.
I dig that. I want to see if that can be a thing. How much time do we have?
We've been recording for 51 minutes, so it's about time to button it up.
It's about time. About time.
Oy vey. I wonder what happened.
I just want to say...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that according to Metacritic, No Name's Room 25 is the best album of the year.
Huh.
Which is awesome, because I like that album a whole heck of a lot. And Roma is the best movie of the year. I haven't heard of that before. I hadn't heard of that before Golden Globes, but yeah. Apparently it's super good.
I haven't heard of that either.
So, yeah. And then, yeah, that was the other idea, is that we should look at some of the best ofs of the last couple years and do book or movie challenges and talk about them on the podcast.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. Definitely, definitely. And right now, I'm just wondering what the fuck just happened, because not yet friend of the show, Max Temkin, just retweeted for like the fifth time his tweet from November 9th of last year. Trump's done. We got him this time. Me, every day for the last 3 years. So I want to know what dumb shit has happened today. Although that does remind me, the last time he... I replied the last time he did this. At Dylan Bickers tweets, I drop a quarter in a large jug every time I think Trump is going down, only to be disappointed. My goal is to either donate an almost full jug to my local Planned Parenthood or use a full jug as a counterweight to fucking hang myself.
Exactly. Oh my god. Do you follow Megan Amram on Twitter?
I do not.
She almost every day, every time something new comes out about Trump, every day she will tweet the same tweet that is, today is truly the day that Trump became president.
Every time you call him orange, he increases in power.
It's great. Yes. You just don't, I mean, we liberal cucks just don't get it, you know?
That's
true. Too small of a mind to get the glorious nature of our dear leader.
We can't play 5D chess.
Right, right. While we were playing checkers, he was playing chess. Oh, man. We should button up.
Yeah. Yeah, we should. Tell me about you on the internet.
People can find me on the internet and can also find me in this planar existence. But on the internet, I'm at Devin Nava on twitter.com. And I also have a site, devinnava.com. And I wrote up some articles about my top 50 albums of 2018. So go check those out.
Hell yeah.
Where can they find you on the internet, Dylan?
They can find me on the shitstorm that is Twitter, at Dylan Bickers. They can also find my website, dylanbickers.com. I just added a new blog post about a week ago about why I stopped writing poetry, because that's something I used to do a lot. I think it's good. Feel free to check it out.
Nice.
And also the hosting for this podcast, EOW. That's E as in every, O as in octopus, W as in Winchester, .fireside.fm. And feel free to mash that bell, fam. If you like the podcast, please rate us on iTunes, because somehow that helps.
Hit that MFN subscribe button.
Keep that motherfucking subscription on you.
I go brrr with subscriptions. Like, keep that MFN subscription on my person. As always, our intro and outro music comes from Villainous Beats. You can find him on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/villainousbeats. He just came out with a new project at midnight, I think. Yeah, or on January 1st, called Audition. Oh. So go listen to that. I am going to listen to this today because it looks good. And I might actually buy a couple tracks from here for the next season of Every Other Wednesday.
Hell
when
yeah.
When we decide the new season begins. Is there any fantastical way you want to end this podcast, Dylan?
I mean, I could try and do like that that rapper Bert sound.
Rapper Bert sound?
You know, the... Hang on, I'm going to try and do it and really embarrass myself and show how wet I am.
What? Brat, brat. Yeah, you out there. Everybody, rep EOW gang. Gang, gang, gang.
EOW gang, rise up.
EOW gang, rise up. Can that be the title instead, please?
Title.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Bye.